Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Sportsmanlike Conduct Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Argott. It's April 10th, and the NBA season is almost getting wrapped up with a close race there in the West. The 6 through 10 seed is going to be crazy. Those play-in games, Lakers, Golden State, the Kings, all like within two games of each other. And as we get through these the next 10 days, it's going to be really interesting as the postseason gets underway. And I'm going to be talking a little bit of basketball today with my guest, Tucker Richardson. He is the shooting guard for BC Nokia over in Finland. He also went to play college basketball for the Colgate Raiders. And he has a very successful basketball YouTube channel, Tucker Richardson for his name. We talked a lot about, or what he talks a lot about on the his YouTube channel is he talks skills, practice. You guys know what Iverson said. He's like, you guys kidding me? Practice. You guys don't know the reference. Go look it up. But Tucker talks a lot about that kind of on his YouTube channel and just the whole approach to basketball itself throughout college and now where he plays professional ball. I really was intrigued by his approach to the game. You guys should definitely go check out his YouTube channel. I'll be linking that in the show notes. And you guys will hear his passion for the game here on this podcast as well. You guys all enjoy this interview with Tucker Richardson. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Sportsmanlike Conduct Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Argott. Glad to be back here. It is a rainy day here in Southern California. And it is a cold day for my guest, Tucker Richardson, over in Finland. Man, I know we have a 10-hour time difference, man. How are things going for you in Finland?
Yeah, like you said, it's definitely colder here. We were talking before this that a cold day for you in LA or in California is in the 60s, and for me that would be beautiful weather. But other than that, things are going really well here. Tomorrow is actually our first playoff game and our first playoff series, so things are kind of really getting going here. And yeah, it's been a great experience so far.
No, man, that's awesome. Yeah, and I know you're from Jersey. You went to school what, all 5 years there, and then you went to go play for BC Nokia and over there in Finland, man. And that's an awesome journey. How did that all even come about?
Yeah, so I think in terms of the process of playing professionally, I mean, I didn't know much until my last year playing in college. I went to Colgate University in upstate New York, a Division I school in the Patriot League, and had a really good career there. And so, like you said, I played 5 years actually because of COVID. We got a COVID year, fifth year, and I ended up staying. And yeah, towards the end of my fifth year, I started, you know, well, I had a goal for a while to play professionally, but didn't really know that process. So after my fifth year season ended, we lost in the NCAA tournament to Texas. And, you know, about after a couple of weeks of just chilling, I started, you know, reaching out to agents, or agents started reaching out to me, really, and started going through that process. And luckily, a former Colgate player who plays professionally right now, he's in France, and he's been in Israel and all over the place. Wow. His agent, he has a really good agent, really good relationship with him. So he put me in contact with his agent. I ended up signing with that agent, and yeah, the rest is kind of history. And then it worked its way through there to find myself in Finland.
Nice, man. What is it like to, you said you have your first playoff game this coming week. Like, what is that? Is it different from the college experience going to for tournament as opposed to now, like, this is like a different league?
Yeah, I would say the biggest difference is in college, you know, I was at a small school in a small conference, so we had to win our conference to go to the NCAA tournament. And to win your conference, you have to basically win three straight games against three different teams. So it's like, if you lose, you're out. If you win and you move on, it's just one game. And the biggest difference is playing professionally over here is now we're playing series. So more similar to like the NBA format, the first round is best out of five. So first of three wins. If we win and end up moving on, it's actually turns to best of seven for the semis and then best of seven for the finals. So I would say like a little bit less pressure going into like this first game tomorrow. Whereas in college, you know, especially for most of my time at Colgate, we were always the one seed, kind of had home court advantage, had The expectation was that we were going to win the conference. So there was always so much pressure on every game because if we lost, it's like a huge deal. Whereas over here, you know, obviously still we want to win every game, but if you drop one, I guess it's a little bit different.
That makes big sense. Like, because obviously March Madness and all this stuff is going on right now. And I think now we're into the Final Four here. And like the one thing is like, man, it's like when the one and done, that is a big, enormous pressure, you know, as opposed to if you have a 5-game series or a 7-game series, like yeah. Dang, you know, we just didn't have it tonight, but we still could come back the next night. Like, so I can understand kind of like what you're talking about from that standpoint.
And it's funny talking to like the Finnish guys over here. They kind of understand March Madness and how it works, but they don't really get it. Like, you know, you can be the best overall team and still lose in the first round, like lose your first game. Like we saw happen to Purdue last year. Right. So it's very interesting and definitely a completely different dynamic, but that's what makes the NCAA tournament so great in my opinion.
Yeah, no, exactly. No, it brings, you know, a whole other kind of atmosphere and all that. But one thing I want to touch on is like, you know, international play. We've obviously have a lot of big international stars in the NBA. Probably the best stars are from other countries and stuff like that. The best American player, Anthony Edwards, probably. What style, the style of ball there in Finland as opposed to in the States, what have you seen the differences and comparisons to what you've seen here?
Yeah, it's so interesting. Obviously seeing that change in the NBA, but now being overseas and kind of seeing maybe more of why that's happening. For instance, one thing I would point out is the way they treat youth basketball here is so different from America, in terms of like even the youth coaches have to go through an education process to learn how to be a coach, basically. Whereas in youth basketball in America, basically it's, you know, a kid on the team's dad or whoever has time to coach. And there's not really as much like player development from a young age. And here they take player development really seriously. Like, so I play for BC Nokia, which is like the Nokia basketball club, basically. And the basketball club goes all the way down to, I think the youngest team is like second or third or fourth grade, something like that. So you work your way up through the club, and there's a lot of kids at the younger level, and then it slowly gets smaller and smaller until you get to the professional team. It's just a complete – yeah, go ahead.
Don't mean to cut you off, but it's kind of like soccer in that kind of instance, like when they talk about it, right?
Yeah. Got it. So, yes, exactly. So you kind of stay with your club, and it's different because there's way less people in Finland and a lot of the European countries, so it's easier to manage that. But I would say the biggest difference is that kids are getting really high-level basketball instruction from a young age, and that's maybe why you're seeing, you know, this shift where there's more European players in the NBA that are doing well. And then I will also say, in terms of like style, it's so funny. Like my professional league here is such a different style from my college experience. Meaning, the biggest difference is that we have a 24-second shot clock. In college, the shot clock is still 30, which I wouldn't be surprised if that changes fairly soon. But the pace is so much quicker here. The shots you have to take because it's a shorter shot clock are so different. And so it's definitely been a fun adjustment, I would say, for me because I like playing that style. But the actual league is definitely more suited to like how the NBA plays, whereas maybe college, because it's a slower game, a little bit different game, it's less suited for that transition to the NBA. I think those are probably two of the biggest differences and maybe reasons why European players are doing so well in the NBA.
Yeah, no, because you obviously see a lot of different stuff. Like you even could go back to the 2018 draft when Luka is coming into the league. It's like, this guy has won at all sorts of levels, and you could tell he's clearly the best player in the draft, and he falls to 5, and you're like, how did Marvin Bagley or Trae Young go ahead of this guy? It's unbelievable. Right. And you know, so you sort of like, you're looking at that, you're like, you know, what was Luka like learning differently, or what is Jokic learning differently? Even Giannis, I know Giannis took some time to develop into the NBA, but like the impacts of those other guys is like, it just seems far more. I mean, they're like.
I think the other thing with Luka and Jokic, especially Luka, was he was playing in the EuroLeague, which is the best basketball league, I would say, outside the NBA in the world, probably. Definitely the best league in Europe. He was playing in the EuroLeague when he was like 16 years old. So he's basically playing up against much older, more experienced players from such a young age. And so by the time he got to the NBA, although he was young and he was young like those other rookies, he had already been playing against that like high level competition for a long time. Right. Whereas some of these other one and done guys get into the NBA and they're 19 and they've never matched up against like real men or real, you know, NBA level athletes. So I think that that's another thing is if you're really good at a young age in Europe, you like there, it's funny in our league, there are some teams that didn't make the playoffs. And so their last couple games like didn't matter at all. And one of the teams played a 14-year-old scored in the game in the professional league that I'm playing in because they just brought him up for one game. They were like, why not? The game didn't matter. But the point is like, even if you're really, if you're incredibly good at 16 in Finland, you're playing professional basketball. Wow. Like you can play at the professional level. There's no barrier compared to obviously in America, it's just a different structure.
Yeah, whereas like you're getting held back, and it, which, you know, again, makes total sense. One thing is like you see from like Euroball as opposed to like the NBA is the ball movement. Like it is I want to say next level. It's like very mid 2010s Spurs, like, you know, where it's just like we're finding the best shot. Like that is like one thing. It's like the unselfish play, all that, you know, because I think that was like one thing is I think and you would be able to tell me more, is like in AAU ball, it's like, you know, people starting to shoot more like Curry. Is that like more of the thing or am I wrong?
Yeah, I would say, well, first of all, I like to defend the NBA just because I feel like now the NBA gets this kind of bad reputation that it's like all isolation play. And I think first of all, that's not completely true. And also you have to realize like the level of players at the NBA is so much better than any other league that it's hard to compare it to anything else. Like, for instance, even in my league in Finland, there are some teams that play heavily isolation just because they have really good players that can play in isolation. So it's not like all teams are this kind of like ball movement. Yes, it's definitely more common in Europe just because I would say guys are less athletic, a little bit, you know, less skilled at creating their own shots and those kind of things. And they've grown up in a system where they have to play more as a team. Whereas you're right, like in AAU basketball, I mean, I have so many gripes with AAU basketball, but it definitely values being able to score and kind of get your own bucket all the time. Whereas, like I said, the youth culture here is just a little bit different. But I still respect the NBA just because those guys are such high level players. Like it makes sense for them to go out and get a bucket. Like if you can go score, why not go? If Anthony Edwards can go put up 30, you know, go put up 30. Yeah. So that's, I would say, like the biggest difference.
Yeah, no, I totally get you on that front. And, you know, you mentioned you have some gripes with AAU basketball. You know, I watched some of your YouTube stuff. I really like how you break it all down and kind of talk about, you know, in one of your videos, you were talking about how to focus on just one skill, like dribbling the ball, focus on just like these simple things. And, you know, I live in LA. It's really big in youth basketball here. And I hear a lot of stuff from, I do personal training. So I hear a lot of stuff from a lot of parents where it's like, you know, they just want the best kids out on the floor and they just want them to shoot all the time. And it's like for the other kids, it is not, you know, it's like if you're not good or if you're not decent, you're most likely not going to develop and they don't focus on those skills. Am I kind of like getting where you were just talking about a second ago or?
Yeah. So I have, you know, a lot of thoughts. First of all, I think the biggest problem with something like AAU is that there's such a value placed on games and like winning games at a young level instead of development. And so I mean, I always use this phrase, I learned it from my college coach, but this is what I always try and tell younger players is that it's about the process, not the result. And the problem with AAU is that it's so focused on the results. Like you go to an AAU tournament and play four or five or six games in two days. You know, you're trying to win those games, whatever. And then you show up and they have maybe one practice a week, if that. Wow. And so I'm talking, bringing it back to Europe. It's completely flipped at the youth level. They'll practice 4, 5, 6 days a week and only play one game. So they're working on developing players through practice. Obviously you're still going to do live play and practice and you're still going to be competing, but you're not as focused on like winning games every day. You're focused on actually getting better as a player and skill development and all these things. So my biggest thing with younger players is, you know, AAU's fine, especially when you get to your sophomore, junior, senior year, or sophomore, junior year, you need to start playing AAU probably if you want to get recruited. Right. But before that, you know, in my opinion, I think players should be more focused on skill development, on improving their, improving their skills and all those other aspects of the game, and not worry so much about like going to a tournament and going 4-0 versus 2-2 or something. And then also I think the other big issue with AAU is with playing so many games and so small amount of time, you're seeing more injuries, especially like, I don't know if you know this as a trainer, but like young guys, when they get to the NBA, are getting injured more often, like serious injuries. And I think that they're starting to realize that that goes back to the AAU days when kids are playing so many games in such a small amount of time. There are definitely some issues with AAU.
Definitely. And I mean, the injuries part, I'm glad you brought that up, because it is definitely something with young basketball players all the time, where you're seeing the torn ACLs like crazy. You'll see the Achilles injuries. You'll see the certain stuff and you're like, how is this happening more? Like, where, you know, we're at a time where, you know, health and like fitness is like, you see all the stuff, you know, you see cryotherapy, stretching, all this stuff is like, you know, at all time, like we're very conscious of all that. And I didn't even mention a lot of other stuff. And you see even not even basketball, you see a lot in baseball, pitchers blowing out their arms, stuff like that. You're like, how are these young players getting hurt so often? And the only thing you can kind of go back on is like stuff that we weren't doing 30, 40 years ago when we were seeing less injuries is now, is like, you know, kids were, you know, instead of getting started at age 6 and playing so intensely all the way up until they're, you know, 18 years old, going into this league where now they have to play at 100% all the time. It's like, you know, I think that is kind of what it is. You see a lot of it being up close in AAU.
Yeah. You brought up another great point, is that this like specialization at such a young age is another big thing. I think like when kids start playing basketball year round at 7th or 8th grade, instead of like playing multiple sports or doing other things, or even, you know, having an off season, like not a lot of times, you know, 20 years ago, you would play your high school basketball season. Maybe you'd play, I don't know, some kind of AAU or something in the spring, and then maybe you'd be off for the summer and fall, or you'd be playing a different sport during those seasons. But now it's like, and I was like this too. I mean, I felt like I had to specialize at a young age. I think in 9th grade was when I started only focusing on basketball year round. And luckily I've been lucky that I haven't had to deal with some injuries, but I think that is another big part of it is, and that's why I urge kids in some of my videos is, you know, don't start focusing on basketball so young. Like, develop yourself in other areas. Keep doing, whether it's other sports or even just like other hobbies, other interests, you know, be doing other things and not just playing basketball all year round every day. It sounds like that would be bad advice, but I actually think it's good advice. I think kids need to be more well-rounded as they grow up.
I totally agree. I mean, you see the cross sport all the time, like you know, going back, and I'll name some names for different sports, but like, yeah, Antonio Gates played a lot of basketball before he went and played tight end for his whole career in football. I mean, even look at Steve Nash. He was a soccer player most of his life. Then, you know, he's played a lot of basketball. And then same thing with Akeem Olajuwon. He was the guy, I don't think he started playing basketball until he was like a freshman or sophomore in high school. And then he went on to be one of the 10 greatest players of all time. So it's like, you know, you kind of look at all that and you're like, maybe there is something here with all these cross sports training, because your body adapts to certain stuff, and, you know, with the way you move, you know, you're not, you know, learning just this one track mindset all the time. You learn to be more open-minded, and that's where I think kind of like, I really not only liked how you're talking about in your videos, because again, that's kind of like, I was not an organized ball or anything like that, but when I play in a men's league right now, and look, I'm out there, I don't care, I do not need to shoot the ball. If I don't shoot, no problem. I'm out there because I want, yeah. I want to hustle and I want to win and defense and finding the best shot. That's all I care about. Ball movement, yeah. Finding the best shot.
Man, you're an analytics guy.
Oh,
you're
totally. 100%. 100%. Like Spurs style of ball, I would have been great playing for the Spurs if I actually had a decent shot and stuff like that. And I was actually a foot taller. But man, like, that is the kind of stuff that, like, I you know, think comes from playing different sports. I played a lot of football. I would, you know, sometimes play soccer with friends. I would sometimes, like, you know, just trying different stuff. And I think that's a great point that you actually bring up in your videos and stuff like that.
Yeah. And I also think, you know, the honest truth is that of the players, the basketball, young basketball players that watch my videos, that's like my target audience. Most of them are kids. You know, the truth is that probably 95 to 97% of them aren't even going to play college basketball. And so obviously that's not the best thing to say. I would want everyone that watches my videos to play, you know, play at the next level. But the truth is that only 3% of kids, 3% of kids that play in high school, play in college, only 1% plays Division I. So to be more well-rounded and be doing other things is just going to benefit you in the long run, no matter what.
Yeah.
It's just in your best interest, I feel like. So that's another thing. And that's also why I try and get kids to focus on the process, on the journey, on like your love and passion for the game, as opposed to what the result of your journey is, or like where you end up going. Because, you know, a lot of times you're just setting yourself up for disappointment. Whereas, you know, if you focus on getting better every day, that's a lifelong skill that's going to help you in whatever you do, yeah. Whether it's basketball, whether it's whatever you become passionate about later on in life.
Yeah, no, it will translate to all different areas in life. I really like that. You know, you're all about helping people and everything like that, like you said, through your videos and stuff. What is like your ultimate goal? Like, you know, fast forward 10 years from now, where would you like to see yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess for the YouTube channel, it's interesting. So I was over here in Finland when I first got here in August or September, and I realized I had a lot of free time. Like we practice in the morning, we have lunch as a team, and then for the rest of the day, basically I'm on my own. And so I'm the type of person that, you know, both my parents are entrepreneurs. And so I kind of have that brain of where I want to be doing something. I don't want to just like sit around and play video games all day or something. Mm-hmm. I want to be doing something. So I was like, all right, well, I've always had a passion for like movies and filmmaking and that kind of stuff, outside of basketball. So I was like, all right, well, maybe I'll just pick up the camera, start doing something. So I started like vlogging around when I was in Finland. I was just like walking around. I took them off my YouTube channel, but I was just walking around and I really did it for like my friends and family back home, just so they could see what I was seeing, basically.
Awesome.
And then one day I made more of like a sit down video talking to younger players, and that video did better. And so I just kind of kept making videos like that. And it's crazy. Like I had no expectations, no idea where it would end up or what would happen with the channel. But I mean, now I'm over, I think I'm at like 1.2 million views across the channel. And I just hit, you know, 20,000 subscribers like a week ago, which is like absolutely insane. I literally had you could have told me, you know, by the end of your year in Finland, you'd have 1,000 subscribers. And I would have been like, no way, that's impossible. 1,000 people watching my videos.
Yeah.
So to have 20,000 is crazy. And that's why I try not to like have any kind of goal with the YouTube channel. I'm just like, you know, at this point, especially it's funny because on YouTube, you can really start to like chase views and chase subscriber counts and all that stuff. And I'm really not trying to do that. Like a lot of the biggest YouTubers, they give that advice, you know, don't chase views, just keep building your authentic brand or, you know, your authentic voice, just keep doing that and you'll be fine. So that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to like continue to do it because I really love making videos and helping kids, not because I want to get some sort of, you know, crazy amount of subscribers or views. So I don't really have a goal with the channel. I think if anything, it would be really cool to continue to build that brand. And then at some point, build an audience that I could bring to like another sort of endeavor or project or whatever that might be. But for now, yeah, I'm just gonna continue making videos and hopefully helping kids. You know, what's really been rewarding is like the comments I get on the videos, and I've gotten a lot of DMs on Instagram from kids saying that a video has helped them, or their game has changed, or whatever it might be, or they have questions, whatever it might be. That's the stuff that's been really rewarding and really cool, and what I could have never expected. And I see a lot of these kids are in the same situations that I was in high school. I really lacked confidence in my game, and, you know, was worried about playing at the next level and all those things that a lot of these kids are going through. So I'm glad that I can kind of give back and give some of that advice.
Yeah, man. I mean, I think there's a lot of value in your content. I think people can relate to a lot of it because they either been a part of it or they kind of see it. You know, maybe it's not just kids, but maybe it's like other coaches or other, you know, people just even interested in just the game itself. So I think there's a lot of different fronts to it. And like, you know, within 5 minutes of watching a YouTube a channel or a video or whatever, and it's not even 5 minutes, like within a minute, you already know whether if you're going to stick to this video or not. So as someone who likes sports and watch stuff like that, the same thing, you know, if it's something I'm going to watch, I'm like, oh, I'm going to stick. I think there's a certain presence that you have and is it more instructional or kind of just, analytical for yourself that like when you're talking about it, it really kind of, you know, draws you in. It's like, oh yeah, I'm going to stick through this for another 10 minutes because I feel like I'm going to learn something here. And again, that's where the value is at right there for yourself. And I think the more you kind of push those out and everything like that. I think you kind of can promote yourself differently. And I don't mean to promote yourself as a YouTuber. I mean, promote yourself like going from, hey, I'm going to be this guy from talking about, you know, skills and what, you know, this stuff brings, but no, now I'm actually going to kind of go on. I'm going to help people in a different way. I want to, you know, talk basketball in a different way. You could become like that, maybe like a JJ Redick type where it's like, you know, no, seriously, man, you never know.
Yes.
Like, maybe you won't be talking about, you will be an analyst one day, or maybe you will be a TV announcer, or maybe like wherever, you know, your road will bring you, but maybe that's something. Cause I think like you definitely will have a knack for it actually.
Yeah. And I think, you know, connection, I've realized in my life, you know, I went to a really good school. Colgate University is known as, one of the best academic schools, especially in the Northeast. And I learned some stuff at Colgate. There, a lot of it went in one ear and out the other. But what I realized is how important connections are. It's like connections are everything in life. And I built so many connections from going to that school that obviously without basketball, it wouldn't have been possible. And now through the YouTube channel, I've built so many connections through, you know, people. It's funny, like I even have obviously, you know, you're a good example, but I even have like someone who makes my thumbnails now for YouTube that just reached out to me blindly on, he just emailed me and said, I think your thumbnails could use a little work. Can I help you out? And then there was another guy who's, he trains like professional players and just reached out and said, I like your videos. If you ever need anything, basically I'm just a connection. And I've gone back and forth. Like I had a few questions about my shot or whatever it was, something over here that I needed some advice on. And so just like little things like that, it has been really interesting through the channel. People, it's cool. It's cool to see people willing to reach out and wanting to, wanting to build a connection with me through the YouTube channel. That's something I never would have expected either.
Yeah. No, you're right, man. Connections are everything. And you are going to have to forward me the guy's information about improving my shot. Cause God, man. I've been working on that for 33 years. And so.
But, just shoot like Steph. Hasn't anybody told you?
Oh yeah, man, I know. Yeah,
just copy Steph.
Follow Steph. Follow Caitlin Clark and or Ray Allen or something like that, and I'll be good, right?
Well, Steph is so funny because he doesn't even tell people. He says try and shoot like Clay, and I'm like, dude, you're the greatest shooter of all time. So why are you? But it's funny. Steph's one of the funny. He's my favorite player right now, and it's so funny. Like he does. He did a master class actually on basketball skills.
Yeah.
And some of the ways he was breaking down skills are actually basically the way he was teaching how to do certain skills is different from the way he does it. Like his shot looks different from the way he was trying to teach younger players to shoot. And so I think Steph's just a funny guy. Like, I don't think he's aware even of what he does sometimes on the court. I always found that funny about him.
No, man. Yeah. I think definitely like it was fun. It's funny, you know, I grew up in the big fan of players. This is like something that we could even transition into. Cause, you know, it's like, one of the questions I had for you, because like you said, you're a big Steph guy. You grew up on the East Coast in Jersey, you know. It's like, yeah, you know, I was wondering, like, are you a Brooklyn fan, a Knicks fan, or like maybe, you know, you were in that era. You were at the, what, you were born in 99, you said? So the tail end of the 2000s, like, Nets went back, they went back and back. They lost in both finals during that early 2000 runs. But I was like trying to think, like, who was the player on the, was it?
Vince Carter was my guy.
Yeah, there you go.
Vince Carter was my guy.
He was my guy, dude. Number 15. Okay. Vince Sanity.
Yeah, 15. Yeah. And I wear number 15. I remember, so it's interesting. Like, I was a Nets fan. And then they moved to Brooklyn and I kind of broke up with them, I guess you could say. But I have this vivid memory of being at a Nets game when I was younger with my dad. And Vince hit like a deep three. To me, I thought it was like a half court three. But it was just a deep three, game winner. And I remember he pointed at the crowd and I like swore he was pointing right towards us. So I was a big Nets guy. And then you're right. Once they left, I kind of fizzled out with that. I was always a huge Kobe guy. So when Kobe was on the Lakers, I was a huge Lakers fan. When he retired, you know, Steph was kind of coming up. And I don't really care. People call it like bandwagon or whatever. But, you know, I like certain guys. I like watching them play. For Kobe, I liked watching him play and I loved his mentality. With Steph, I just love watching him play. I mean, it's as simple as that. He's just my guy. But it is funny with like liking players versus liking teams. In Europe, it's completely the opposite.
Really?
Like, yeah, you're basically set on a team. And even if they're terrible, they're still going to show up to games. They're still going to cheer them on. Even we've been at some games where we're beating a team by 20 on the road and their crowd is still chanting and going crazy. It's not, people don't leave before the buzzer sounds in Europe. It's a completely different environment. It's so funny.
It sounds
Whereas like in America, if a team's getting blown out, I mean, everybody's trying to beat traffic.
Yeah, no, it sounds like Knicks fans, like just, you know, just being, you know, Knicks have been bad for 40 years and stuff. Oh man. No, it's so funny. Like, you know, you bring all that up. I was that era, you know. I was like, I grew up here in LA, man. And it's like, you grew up here in LA, you're a Lakers fan, or, you know, if you're miserable, you want to be a Clippers fan then. but yeah, man, I think my generation was like the start of like, you know, we're a fan of players. I love Vince Carter, man. He was awesome when he was in Toronto, loved him all the way up till there. And then I was like, you know, I was a fan of Rasheed Wallace, and I was like, sort of, I was on his train when he was in Portland. Then when he got traded over to the Pistons, I was like, oh, heck yeah.
Yeah.
And then they beat the Lakers in the finals, man. I was like, oh, cool. You know, Pistons are my new team. And then, you know, Vince Carter and Rasheed left. And I was like, oh man, this is awful. The Pistons stink. They've been the worst franchise probably the last decade.
I'm curious, as someone who lives in LA, like, are people starting to like the Clippers more? Has that franchise gained any kind of support over the years? I mean, it's a little bit more respected as a team now, I feel like.
You know, they definitely have a little more fans, but man, there's one thing, there's two teams here that matter. It is the Lakers and it is the Dodgers. Football, the Rams and the Chargers, whenever they'll never have this sort of like diehard, you know. There's just so many teams here in LA that, like, again, I want to say it would be like, it's Lakers, Dodgers, like they're kind of like tied. Like, if you're a Lakers fan, you're a Dodgers fan. And then it goes LA Kings for hockey. And then I want to say it's like Rams, Clippers, Chargers, like it's kind of like that. And then, you know, actually, you know who's kind of tied there with the Kings is LAFC. Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. Our audio did get a little messed up here towards the last 10 minutes of the show. Tucker and I just talked a little bit of basketball and predictions for the upcoming NBA season, and we both kind of concluded that the Denver Nuggets are, of course, the favorite to win it all. And, you know, kind of talking about any teams that could upset them. But the Nuggets were his like overall consensus, and sucks that it got cut out. But anyways, I hope you guys all enjoyed the show. Please do not forget to subscribe to the podcast, leave me a rating and review, and let me know what you like, what you didn't like, and don't forget to share this podcast with your fellow sports fans. I hope you guys all have a great day.